Hello and welcome to the Mal and Johnny Show. A funny thing about words, we were talking about words last week, about different idioms in different languages.
Yeah.
It's context, isn't it, Johnny? It's all about context. If I said the word cabaret, or cabaret, as quite a lot of artists would call them in this part of the world, I mean, what are the things that come to mind, just cabaret in South Wales? What would you think, first things?
Well, the cabaret I used to do in the old days was when we did the nightclubs, and you did... And it was like dining, and you were eating and watching a show and so on. I mean, we used to do the clubs, that like the working men's clubs to start with.
Yeah.
But that was hardly cabaret. That was different. That was like a working men's club where the guys went to see the show. Sometimes it was only men.
Yeah.
And they eventually let women in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But cabaret is it's a continental thing, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. You know, because the cabaret bands, I was just thinking, you know, I think of cabaret. I was brought up thinking cabaret was, you know, those little pieces of silver material coming down from the back of the stage, or a sparkly, you know, and then in the corner there'd be the tombola, and then there'd be an organ.
It's called the slash.
The slash. Okay, the slash.
The silver slash.
there'd be a set of drums, an old set of drums, and there'd be an organ. You know, then there'd be a little bit of a space at the front before the stage, because that's where they used to do their... The dancing.
Yeah.
Usually the tables, and I'm not sure about you, but most clubs I went to, the tables were at right angles to the stage. Do you have that sort of...
They were all sorts. I can't really remember that far back. But I mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Sticky carpets.
They used to dance to anything in those days. I remember this bloke, a comedian, and they weren't taking any notice.
Yeah.
And he said, you can dance to these jokes if you like.
Chicken in a basket.
Chicken in a basket.
Sticky carpets.
And chips. The thing is, they used to look... If you listen to the people like Simon Cowell, you know, it's a bit too cabaret. Yeah. No, I mean, they're talking it like it's a derogatory term.
Yeah.
Sammy Davis was a cabaret performer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're not talking about... rubbish there, are we?
You're not talking
about
rubbish.
But they tend to look down at their nose. They don't realise what proper cabaret was.
Yeah.
I mean, I did tell you that the best cabaret room I ever did was in Monte Carlo in Casino.
Yeah.
Now, that was a proper cabaret room, okay? You had them all sitting, dining, fine dining, and watching the show. Yes. And they used to do it in London in the Talk of the Town. Do you remember the Talk of the Town?
Oh, well, I never went there, but I remember them talking about it. Yeah, yeah. What was it like?
Oh, yeah, all the big stars.
Yeah,
and you know, that was proper cabaret. But there were millions of cabaret clubs. I mean, you've just done one in London called the Crazy Cocks.
Yeah,
but they used to have loads of.
Stop it now!
What with the slash in the back of the Crazy Cock? We're getting deep water here, boy. But no, I mean, if you think of in the 60s and 70s, there was an explosion of cabaret clubs around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Cardiff and Swansea. You had the Townsman down in Swansea.
Yeah, yeah.
You had, there was one in somewhere else down that way too, Swansea way. What was it called? I can't remember.
Mm.
Was it Gorsynan? Yeah, there was one in Gorsynan.
Yeah.
Rainbow Room, I think it was called, in Gorsynan. And then you had the Double Diamond up in Caerphilly. And then you had Bristol, you had Hickey's. You had
Savers.
Savers, that was up in Usk, which originally was called the Helmain, then they changed the name, called it Savers. Then in Manchester, you had Mr. Smith's, you had Blighty's, Broadway, Talk of the North, Eccles, Liverpool, you had the Wookie Hall, Wallinson's Theatre Club. I mean, they were everywhere. And at one point, we had more cabaret work in this country than in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And all the big stars would come over.
So explain to people then what that meant, you know, what that meant.
Well, cabaret, to me, is... people sitting down, probably having a meal and watching a floor show, as Americans call it, floor shows.
Floor show, yeah, yeah.
Because you're working more or less on the floor in an area like close to the audience, as opposed to being on the stage and you're back off them, you know. Yeah. It was more intimate cabaret, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because this, you know, and the reason I was thinking about it was because, you know, I was asked to do a cabaret room in London and you think, ooh, you know, but Crazy Cocks is nothing like a South... Wales working men's club.
Oh, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no. And I did a bit of research because somebody actually, as I was going up, you know, you take pictures and say, I'm on my way to London, going to do this. Yeah. And this guy got back and he said, oh, my mum and dad stayed there on their honeymoon. They came up from Wales to stay. It's the Regent's Palace Hotel. Now, it was set up by Joe Lyon. You know the Lyon's tea houses.
Yeah, it's no longer there, the Regent Palace.
No. Well, that's what Crazy Cox is. Well,
that's what they rebuilt. Oh, wow.
So they rebuilt a lot of it. I mean, in its time, it's over 1,000 rooms, 9 floors, 1,000 staff. But it was designed by an Art Deco buff. He was actually a theatrical designer, but he designed it. And the only way I can describe what it looked like then, and actually what it looks like now, is it was like a scene from Titanic. You know when they walk down the stairs in Titanic? It has It's definitely got that feel to it. So when they rebuilt it, they actually got the old architectural plans from 1935.
Right.
And it was like a cocktail bar, this Crazy Cox back in the 30s, and they've made it exactly the same, and it's such an amazing venue. Yeah. You know, you just want to be in there because it looks great.
Yeah, were they eating or was drinking or what?
No,
were
just
they
drinking.
Doing?
So they've got the old Palm Court sort of room, which is now a massive dining room. That's over there. Then there's the L'Americaine. For your cocktails, primarily before your meal, and then Crazy Cox. It's only 80 people. That's all it's got. That's all it's got.
All right.
But it's got a grand piano and a stage and an audience, and that's it. There's no hiding place, Johnny. That was the other thing with Cadbury. When it was close up, there wasn't a hiding place. You had to be good, didn't you?
Oh, that's right. You've got there's no hiding place. You're right. They don't like you. You've had it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was the one I used to do in London, the celebrity restaurant. And that was the same. It's really small.
Yeah.
It was owned by, I think I told you.
Paul Raymond.
Paul Raymond. That's right.
Yeah.
And he used to sit in his booth at the top with his wife. And I'd go in. He'd say, like, a glass of champagne, John. It's one of those, you know. Yeah. And it was a lovely, lovely atmosphere. Yeah. And they'd have big stars going. It was only a small, I don't think it was 80 people. It was probably smaller than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I used to do that twice a year. But see, you don't have to worry about the audience. The audience went there for the room.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Didn't matter who was on, they'd go there anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a regular audience. You know, and the thing is, my show is at 9 o'clock. I'm thinking,
all right.
When most people are going to bed, it's school night. Not in that London, Johnny. Not in
I used to do cabaret at 11 o'clock.
No, no. Did they have homes
I used to do two shows a night in The Celebrity. The first one was 10 o'clock till 11. The next one was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Goodness me, man. And they got homes to go to. They got jobs to do.
They don't really see.
So I got there, right? So I did take my red suit, Johnny. I took my red suit.
Good.
So I'm thinking, you know, make an impression. It's a cabaret. It's Crazy Cox. They got a lovely red like velvet drapes and stuff on the sign behind the piano. And the 7 o'clock show was Woodhead and Wartenberg's Berlin Cabaret. Right?
Right.
So I'm thinking, I'm looking a bit smart. I go into the dressing room. I am seriously underdressed. Okay, these boys have come from Berlin. And I was reading through their blurb. It says, get ready for a night of erotic friction, classic chanson, and avant-garde postmodern Brechtian theatre. I'm thinking, all I've got is my guitar and a piano. What am I? Russian piano technique meets technique-less acting and singing as the Berlin-based duo share hilarious stories and original song. I mean, they were lovely boys. Don't get me wrong; they were lovely. Had a lovely warm welcome, and I saw a bit of this show, and it was fantastic. You know, the piano player, his platform shoes made Elton John look like a shorty. You know? Something to myself: what on earth is the audience?
So there were three or four different artists on that night, were there?
Two shows, 7 o'clock. These two boys from Berlin, and then me at 9 o'clock. But it was just, I was, you know, you do get into. I mean, it's good. It's good to test yourself, isn't it? It's good to sort of, you know, step out into unknown territory.
But I mean, what kind of an audience did you have? What were they? Just ordinary.
Yeah, people. just punters, really. But then a couple of people, like a pair came up from Devizes. just to see the show. Yeah. They'd seen me advertising it on Facebook or something like that. And it was her husband's birthday, and they drove up from Devizes straight to the centre of London, did the Kim show.
But is it the fact then you have to have your own following, or is it got a following of the place anyway?
I think a bit of both, really. I mean, there was a bit of Welsh royalty there. Rhea Jones. Rhea had done a couple of shows over the weekend, so she came to support me with a couple of her friends. David Emmanuel came, which was lovely. Lovely to have David there. Yeah. And then some of my sons came as well. So, but you know, sometimes you when you do a lot of regular gigs, you look at it, it's the same people in the audience. Actually, Catherine was there. Catherine came from the Isle of Man. She's in a wheelchair. Catherine is, but she doesn't let it stop it. So I walked on. There's Catherine having a cocktail. So there were a lot of people, faces I sort of recognised, and then at the end of the show, I always want to find out why people have come. You know, some people say, we always come to Crazy Cox, doesn't matter what's on. Other people had come specially. But it was just, because you got to the end of the show, and there were some Welsh people in there, because every time I did something, I told a story about Wales. And I finished off with I Don't Know How to Say Goodbye, which is me duetting with myself when I was a little boy. And then they wouldn't let me go, Johnny. They wouldn't let me go. They wanted
you're standing over. You get a standing ovation.
I couldn't see. It was very dark. I in my mind, I did. Every one of them. But I thought, what I'm going to... So I did Bread of Heaven.
Oh, your encore was Bread of Heaven.
Bread of Heaven, yeah. I think, what else can I do? I just, okay, there's a lot of Welsh people here. And they sounded fantastic. I thought it's probably the first time Bread of Heaven has ever been sung in that venue. You know,
I bet it is.
But you know, sometimes you can be the exotic one by being different, can't you?
I don't think I could have done it in Monte Carlo. I had to sing an Italian song, mind, and a French song,
really,
because it was in the contract. Because obviously, it's close to Italy border, isn't it?
Yeah.
Monte Carlo. They come over the board. So that was in the contract. I had to sing an Italian song and a Welsh and a French song.
So what did you sing?
And the rest could be in English.
What did you sing? Do you remember?
Well, I sang This Is My Life, but it's originally A La Vita.
A La Vita.
Più bello della vita, non c'è niente. You know, that's why I sang that.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Jour Après Jour, which is the French one. Which is one of my records was called Blue Turns to Gold.
Oh.
And that was written by a bloke called Paul Naref. Do you remember him? He wrote Soul Coaxing.
Oh.
Do, 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 do. Anyway, it was one of my B-sides, but it was a French song. So I got my agent's wife, who was Jeannique, who was French. I said, teach me the proper pronunciation. So she taught me that. And a woman in my village taught me the Italian one. She's from Sicily. So when I was singing, one of the waiters said, "You're from Sicily."
No, I'm from my sting.
No, my sting boy. So that's it. That's why they have to sing in different songs, different languages.
So maybe, you know, the whole thing about, you know, because everybody came into the room, you know, all the rooms there, they all go, "Wow, this is like going back in time to the 1930s. My boys came. They couldn't believe it. You know, they thought it was...
Do you know what? Alwyn's auntie used to work at that hotel. She was a telephonist.
No.
Yeah. And she often talked about it, you know.
Yeah.
Because in the old days, a lot of big stars and people used to turn up there and things.
Yeah.
But I remember it was just off Piccadilly Circus somewhere, wasn't it? Just around the corner.
Just around the corner. Yeah. It's an
amazing
venue.
You know what
venue?
I don't like? Changing the subject slightly.
Go on, you. Go on.
When people look down on this cabaret thing, saying, it's only cabaret. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when people on the Britain's Got Talent, he's a cruise act. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
The show's on ships. Every bit is good, sometimes better than you see in theatres. But it's looked down upon like it's some derogatory term. You know, he's be all right in the cruise ships. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen the theatres on the boats. They're better than the Palladium.
Absolutely.
You'll never see anything like them.
No, exactly. Oh, good stuff. All right. Can I just say,
could
last...
do any more of you?
I think so, yeah. The plan is my assault on London. It's my third gig in London in just about 6 weeks. So I'm going to keep on going. Yeah. I don't care what they say, Johnny.
You're not going to give in.
Not give in. They'll give in before me, I tell you what. Can I say, your nose looks great, because last time you were on, you just had some
I put
what was it?
F.U. Dicks on it.
What did you say? Pardon?
F.U. Dicks.
I was only asking, Johnny. Oh, that was the cream that you put on, wasn't it?
I had this sun
damage
spot, which was a bit dodgy. So the doctor gave me this stuff. He put it on for 3 or 4 days. It looks horrendous. Am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
It goes all scabby and it cracks and it bleeds. God, what have I done? Anyway, now it's all nice and new skin now. I'm going to have to be careful now. I have to put Factor 50 on it.
Yeah, keep it.
Because it's brand new skin.
Brand new. Okay, good stuff.
Do you have problems with your
top of my head, paint? Johnny. Oh, I got to be careful, man. I got to be careful. I've had a check, but it's... You got to be careful. It's either too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer. It's like...
There's no winning. You can't win.
All right, then. Good. So, for another week, it's goodbye from the tap-dancing Johnny Tudor...
The red-suited Mal Pope. All the best, Mally boy.
Have a good week. See you soon. Ta-da. Bye.
Ta-da.